Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Hopefully everybody had a safe and a blessed Labor Day weekend. We did. It was nice. It was relaxing. And actually got to go over to Pend'Oreille Lake. A friend had a birthday party over there, which is beautiful. So, I know it's a lot of boats going down the road, a lot of RVs going down the road. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Yes, good morning to you. Good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Trump Tuesday.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. Indeed.
That's right. We didn't actually have a broadcast for Monday because we were observing the holiday as well. And so, and we figured, well, you know, an awful lot of times when holidays land on certain days like that, most people don't listen anyway because their schedule is jumbled and they're off doing other things like being at the lake like they ought to be.
So we thought, hey, everyone else
is doing it. We're going to do it too.
Lake.
Yep.
Absolutely. It was cool. So, yeah, you guys who listened to the live show at 7 a.m. yesterday, you know that it was re-aired from last Monday. So if you are looking for the Podbean uploaded podcast version, it's not there. We just did not produce a show Sunday evening or Monday morning. So we observed the holiday.
That's right.
Okay. So Lady Liberty, where there's a lot of stuff going on. One thing that really was on our mind that we were talking about was this refugee resettlement that's really just weighing heavily on our area. I mean, they're targeting Spokane, Boise, Idaho, Utah, Missoula, Montana, and I can't remember the name, but I'll have to pull it up, but the in Wisconsin. These are conservative, red state, rural communities that they are specifically targeting, and they're permanent.
Right.
And it is, again, it's a continuing effort to permanently alter the demographics of this country. And of course, we can see what that looks like when we look at Europe and the landscape of Europe, how it has fundamentally altered the cultures in those countries. They're just like not even recognizable oftentimes over there.
Right. And so what do we do when they could be sending as many as 50,000 per area?
Right.
Missoula, Montana, Sparta, Wisconsin.
That's what it was.
Utah, Spokane, Washington, and then,
Boise,
Idaho. Yep. And so all of these very, very small areas, and especially Spokane and Idaho, where we're already in a housing shortage, 50,000 of them.
Right.
And so, you know, wow. And all vetted, of course, I'm sure.
Well, that's
and
what
all,
they're saying, yeah.
All Christian Afghanis too, I'm sure.
And they were all interpreters
all
too. That
allies
helped us.
To the U.S. military, right?
Yeah.
Every last one of them. Uh huh. I really, really have much intrepidation. Really,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know where to begin on this one because, oh my gosh, how many of them are actually terrorists that squeezed in? How many are actually Taliban for that matter? Right? Do we have any idea? No.
Well, so many of the images that we saw of the planes packed full of hundreds and hundreds of Afghanis, the majority were military age fighting males.
Yep.
And, you know, now I know initially when they were taking photos of these mobs, just mobbing the planes, just the in droves, just running onto the planes, you know, they got things a little more under control, you know, after those initial pictures were taken. But still, we see many, many of these are military age, you know, fighting males. And they're not putting them in Atlanta or Dearborn, Michigan, or, you know, larger cities and metropolitan areas where you already have a much more diverse culture. You already have an established Islamic little mini culture in each of these large cities, established mosques and so on. This appears to be very deliberate to get these refugees, if you want to call them that. Well, they are refugees, but to get them relocated when there are multiple countries right there in that region, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, Pakistan, and the surrounding, you know, the Islamic countries. Why are they not helping out their fellow?
Right, exactly. Because they are, that's the typical thing that happens under these kind of scenarios, is they will evacuate to the nearest country.
Right.
Not some huge, massive scale, you know, exodus to a different continent, and especially right. on somebody else's dime, right? And so, and even then, when they get them here, or when they get them wherever, they've already got some place established for them to go, right?
Right.
We don't have anything set up like that. And so right. It's just really 50,000 of them in Spokane suddenly. And so...
Yeah, and they're already arriving. I mean, they were on the
yep.
tarmac. The news was there filming them getting off the planes. And so they're already here. I mean, they look like they were in Kandahar 5 minutes before that
That's
picture
right.
was taken.
Yep, that's right.
And you know, Pastor Hagee said, you know, and Pastor Hagee said, immigration without assimilation is an invasion.
That's right.
And what we can look at to understand what that might look like, because the World Relief Organization, this non-government organization that are just bringing their hands, they get paid thousands of dollars per refugee to take them in and resettle them. So they're just it's like cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Right.
So they got on the little website about, you know, myths and facts about refugees. And all of our concerns, they address them, but they're just like slithering snakes, you know, talking, just their words are just, here's the thing. Look at Europe and see what happened with a mass influx from Muslim countries, to see what has happened to their countries. When they initially welcomed them with open arms, we accept refugees, kisses and hugs for refugees, holding up their signs and everything. Now we have a situation where women cannot even walk alone, where the rape epidemic is just through the roof.
Right.
You know, in what, 2 years ago, New Year's Eve, 1,000 women in Germany, in I think it was Zweibrücken or one of those, 1,000 women raped in one night on New Year's Eve, heavily congested Muslim relocation refugee areas. And so, you know, Sweden, Holland, the UK, France, all of these, and many of these countries where they've brought in these refugees to take them in because it's the, you know, loving thing to do. Many areas in the countryside that were just dotted with Christian churches, they're all now mosques. Not all, but many of them. So, you know, these are very legitimate concerns about, you know, permanently and intentionally altering the demographics of our country. And so, you know, these are very real concerns. But, you know, here we are in the end times. You know, here we are looking at just the most bizarre behaviors, you know, governments. And this is, you know, it's a global pandemic. This mindset, the spiritual, the spirit, whether it's the massive hyper control because of the Wuhan virus, or whether it's, you know, injecting refugees and changing nations. This is just an amazing wild time to be alive in our country. And it's sad to see America go, you know, what we knew as America, and to see people deliberately working to tear it down.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So.
And especially when we're left to do, when there's, what do we do? What do we do if we don't want this to happen? Right.
Right.
I mean, what could we have possibly done? We didn't even know they were coming. Right?
Right.
I mean, we had no idea where they were going to be placed. This was not asked of the American people. Is this okay?
Right.
And if so, who, you know, where are we going to, how are we going to any of those questions. How are we going to make them, what do we give them, visas? What do we do?
Right.
None of those questions were even asked. Americans got left behind, and now they're just here. And what do we do about it? What do we do if we did not want that to happen? And right. And what course is there? What recourse is there at this point?
Yeah. There is none.
That is the absolute misuse of government authority, if I've ever seen it. I mean, that's not okay. You can't just allow unvetted terrorists, potential terrorists, potential Taliban, to just be shipped to multiple different rural locations and just dumped. I mean, how is that even
just thrust upon you?
That also has to be treasonous, because that's like the facilitation of terrorism. Anything that they do from here on out, once they do it, that was instigated by whomever authorized them coming here.
Yeah. Yeah. To force them upon these communities, and not even to take them into communities where they could be integrated, you know, with other Islamic communities in some of our larger cities. This is specifically into conservative red state areas.
That's right. Yep.
And rural communities. So, you know, like I said, you know, they're picking up where they were hoping the Hillary administration would have had America 4 years down the road, and you know, Trump disrupted that.
Right.
He was the stick in the spokes of their plan. So, like I said, as soon as the Biden regime got in there and surrounded and protected themselves with their own military, with concertina wire, to protect their coup, I predicted that they are going to move at breakneck speed to try to get caught up to where Hillary would have been, to try to get caught up to that point, you know? And it's a good reminder. This is one of those snap right back to reality, and this is our hope. People that are not Christians, they don't have a hope. And our hope is that, and our faith is that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, an eternal home that's not of this world. And so, you know, it's frustrating, maddening to see this unfold, and it makes you feel helpless. But then, as we get down to the wire, we don't belong to this, right?
Well, and thank goodness for that, because I'm, you know, all of the money that is paying for all of this to happen against our will, without any vote, without any asking, without anything at all, you know, that is coming out of our tax money. They're just wielding it around as if it was just free money, and they don't have to follow any laws. They don't have to make sure that what they're doing is okay with the people,
right,
or anything.
They do whatever they want, no
accountability, and as if the money just grew on trees and they just throw it around.
Yep.
And so I have a real problem with tax dollars going for this kind of thing. And so
feeding the monster.
Yeah. Sheesh. Yep. Exactly. Especially when there's no common sense associated with any of it. We don't even know who any of them are. How is there any common sense in that?
Right.
And so, that's a extremely, extremely troubling to me. So,
it is.
And it's not that we aren't looking to help refugees if they need it. That's not the case. But the way this is being done is exactly, I don't know.
It's being thrust right.
Yes,
already they're taking them from these drop-off points, and homes are taking them in, and they're really targeting the Christians. Oh, it's the Christian thing to do, you know, and so everybody wants to feel good about themselves. So they're just like, let's hurry, get these guys distributed and they can, you know, be in the spare bedroom of this house, and they can be in the, you know, in-law quarters over here. And we're going to just start, boom, they're into the society. They're already talking about getting the kids that are among them into schools. They don't speak English, but that's okay. They need to start getting integrated into the community. That's one of the big words that they kept saying, integrated,
and
not assimilated.
And so what's all the, you know, the COVID vaccine, or so-called vaccine. So the vaccination was the big deal last week, right? So not anymore. Not anymore.
Oh, we don't need to get caught up in those details.
Yeah, right. who cares about any of those details now? I mean, just so long as we get all of those 50,000 people here in every single
location. We need
to
get all of the American kids vaccinated as quickly as they can.
Right.
So that we can start integrating the Afghan kids into the public schools.
Right. Are they going to make a mandate for those people as well? Or just,
well, no,
you
they're
know?
Refugees. I mean, they're victims. Come on now. You can't be putting stuff on them.
Can't be asking. Right. Where does it stop? I don't know. But we do need to get to the word of the day because that's really where the truth lies and where we need – where the truth lies. Where the truth can be found.
Where the truth rests.
Where the truth can be found. And we're always, always so glad to read the truth and hear the truth in a world of massive, massive deception. And so what we have for today, and by the way, this is the first day of the Feast of Trumpets. And the feasts are not Jewish feasts. They are described as God's feasts. And so as long as we are His, we need to be observing those as well. So I would encourage you to look up, if you don't know anything about the Feast of Trumpets, I would encourage you to look up and study as much as you can about that, because it's just a short feast that lasts 2 days from the sundown on the evening of the 6th till the sundown on the evening of the 8th. And
so last night and ends tomorrow night.
Ends Wednesday evening at sundown. And that's, again, God's Feast of Trumpets. And so for the word of the day, it actually is reflective and leans a little bit towards the Feast of Trumpets from Psalm 65. And it's short, so I'm going to read the whole thing. And it reads, "Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house and your holy temple. By awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power, you who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are also covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing." And that's the end of that.
Cool.
Yep.
Wow.
And so there's quite a few different references here that point to the Feast of Trumpets, actually. And also Psalm 66, the very next one, also points to Feast of Trumpets being a joyful shout to God, and that shout is from the blast of a shofar, believe it or not. Huh. And so here in verse 13 of Psalm 65, where they say they shout for joy, they also sing, and that the Feast of Trumpets is, if rapture is going to happen, biblical scholars are saying that Feast of Trumpets is most likely when that would happen. Nobody,
yes.
You know, of course, you don't know what year, you don't know what time. We're never going to say anything along those lines. But they're saying, as far as the symbolism of the feasts go, that Feast of Trumpets would be where it would most likely occur.
Right.
And so,
I would say Amir Tsarfati, one of the pastors, he's a Jewish Christian pastor, and Jimmy Evans on his show Turning Point.
Yep.
Both of those probably have the most easily to understood, they're so well articulated that it helped me understand how the Feast of Trumpets is a picture of a wedding and the groom coming back for the bride and that time frame for that to happen.
Right.
Not the last trumpet like in the Revelation. You know,
right, not the second coming.
Right, the bowls, the bowls of wrath, the seals, and then the trumpets, and on the last trumpet, then right there it says, on the last trumpet, Christ will return. Well, they're overlooking the Feast of Trumpets.
Right.
And the way that was explained absolutely makes perfect sense. And if you go back and listen to those guys, Amir Sarfati, we've talked about him a lot. And what is that? Behold Israel is the name of the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Behold Israel. And the other one is Jimmy Evans, Pastor Jimmy Evans out of Texas. And his show on YouTube is called Tipping Point.
Yeah,
correct.
And he also has a marriage ministry as well, and it's phenomenal.
Awesome. Yeah.
But, you know, as we're talking about Trump Tuesday, I think we need to change that for today, Feast of Trumpets Tuesday, you know? So yeah. Trumpets Tuesday is what it's going to be for just today. So I have to do a little bit of editing there.
All right, well, let's, we've gone, 22 minutes into the show without taking a break. So let's go ahead and do that real quick. Come back after these messages. Segment one brought to you by U.S. Law Shield, providing legal defense for self-defense, whether it's civil or criminal. This at uslawshield.com. Use the coupon code John Jacob. We'll be back right after this.
Abe Lincoln here. In 1773, patriots broke the chains of British tyranny by throwing tea into Boston Harbor. On that day, Americans began drinking coffee. We celebrate that event daily here at Minutemen Coffee. All men are created equal. Coffee is not. Minutemen Coffee is roasted to perfection in small batches. Bold, smooth, and never bitter. Shipped to you fresh daily. Whole bean, ground, or our patented pods. www.minutemencoffee.com.
Number three on our list of obligations is to understand socialism and all the cunning disguises in which it presents itself to the American people. Our fourth obligation is to understand propaganda techniques as used by both the communist and the socialist. This is a very vitally important need. Thousands of good, loyal Americans have been duped into actually aiding the communist, simply because they did not look carefully before they joined some high-sounding venture, or before they more or less blindly advocated some course of action.
All right, welcome back from the break. This is segment two, and segment two is brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level with Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher over there to take you beyond just the basics of prepping. And by the way, we've got a praise the Lord here. Glenn Tate is reporting that he has, according to his latest reports, 100% cancer free now. Can I get a hallelujah?
Yep, hallelujah. That's excellent news.
Yeah, really good. We were praying for him, and it's just been on our minds and rooting for him. And I didn't even know, he didn't call me up and let me know. I had to find out through his podcast, but that's okay. I reached out to him, and he's just totally stoked and wants to thank us for our prayers and everybody who prayed for him. So, all right, Lady Liberty, segment two, what do you got here in the last 90 seconds, 2 minutes?
Well, so we've got a Rolling Stone issue update after COVID ivermectin article disputed by the Oklahoma Oklahoma.
I think so.
Hospital. A hospital system in Oklahoma responded to a Rolling Stone article that claimed hospital emergency rooms in Oklahoma were turning away gunshot victims due to ivermectin overdose patients, saying that it has not treated patients due to complications from taking the drug. And so, wow, that's kind of a... That's,
pretty blatant misinformation
that's,
there.
No kidding.
That's disinformation.
That's a flat out lie. And so Rolling Stone on Sunday issued an update to its article, which included the statement from a local hospital denying the claims. The report sourced a local KFOR article that itself cited Oklahoma ER doctor, Dr. Jason McElier, who claimed that people overdosing on farm-grade ivermectin are causing emergency rooms to be so backed up that gunshot victims were having hard times getting inside emergency rooms.
Goodness.
And so the reports did not mention where McElier had worked, but later HS Sequoia, located in Selassie, issued a statement that McElier had worked there and refuted his claims. And so so that's quite... That's not only just misinformation and disinformation, that's an outright agenda-based statement.
Oh, absolutely.
Where you know, you've got a flat-out cure for COVID-19 with ivermectin, and and they're trying to diminish, you know, the results of that any way they possibly can.
I know it.
And so they're trying to bring fear to people saying that, oh, everybody's overdosing on it. You know what? Ivermectin has been available from human doctors for the past, 20, 30 years?
Yep.
And it was approved by the FDA as being 100% safe. And it's a human antiparasitic
that's
totally tried and true. And
it's
you can also get it in
farm animals.
Yeah. Yep, you can get it from a prescription from your doctor.
Yeah, and it's sold over the counter in so many countries. It is shown effective over and over. There is no need for a vaccine. But, well, hey, we're out of time already so fast. But we're going to talk about this tomorrow. We got lots more to cover tomorrow. So be right here tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute.
That's right. You all have a fantastic Feast of Trumpets Tuesday. And blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.